The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berugin.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. This is Jack Berugin. And again, sorry for missing yesterday, but every now and then work gets in the way of what's going on, folks. Got to deal with customers, got to deal with what's going on in the real world. And you end up at the end of the day without time to do the podcast. And I know a lot of you wait for that podcast on a daily basis. I apologize. This is the show, as they say, where we try to bring pit smarts and street smarts together. A lot going on today. Big turnaround in the market, if you noticed. In fact, I got to tell you, folks, if there was ever an indication of what this fiscal cliff means, it was today's action. What we saw happen midday when we saw the Speaker of the House come out and say what he came out and said. But I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about what these frontier and emerging markets are and maybe how to invest in them. I just did a wonderful interview. They highlighted me on the RBC magazine, the Royal Bank of Canada magazine, their internal thing. Very nice people. I've spoken at their conferences. They get a lot of people up there in Canada at those conferences, believe it or not. But what was going on today, folks? We saw gold getting clobbered. If you noticed the move in the morning, somebody said to me, something's up. Well, there was a massive put trade. All right. Remember when I keep telling people this and people don't understand that they don't trade like stocks. Commodities do not trade like stocks. So if you had a big put trade in the GLD, it's not like a big put trade on IBM or Microsoft or any one of the bellwether liquid stocks. No, folks. It comes at a time when the markets are not trading liquid, and the market maker that takes the other side of that trade, even though they have a large edge, all right, have got to hedge off that big profit that they're looking at, which drove the market in gold, now get this, folks, down roughly $25 in a couple of minutes, all right? I mean, it was one of those moves that if you are a trader, if you are not on the right side of the market, you get clobbered. You don't get a chance to breathe, you know, and that's how fast it happened. Stocks, on the other hand, turned around like nobody's business today. And why? Well, look, you know what? I did Larry Kudlow's show last night. And if some of you didn't get a chance to see it, yes, that was me. I had to wait till the last segment to do it. I love doing Larry's show. The only problem is, you know, that last segment comes on at roughly, 10 to 7 Chicago time. And by then, it's been a 16-hour day for me, folks. So, you know what? You get a little slap happy by then. But you try to keep your wits about yourself. But more importantly, I talked about what I thought was a very, very important thing, and that is the fact that there's no fear in the market, which told me what I was telling you yesterday, the day before yesterday, that is, that either people don't get it, they don't understand the ancillary effects of what this fiscal cliff is, or they're not drinking the Kool-Aid. Plain and simple as that. And you know what? Today's action, though, was really keen. All right, think about it. You were down 100 points or so. Okay, then we bounced. You bounced back big, folks. That was a rally that gives you the tip of the iceberg. I said something yesterday on Kudlow's show, on Larry's show. I said that we're one handshake away from a 5% move up, all right, from repricing 5% back in the market. I've said that to you before. I firmly believe it. Today's action is indicative of that. So when those that are out there looking at the bad news, and there is bad news out there, don't get me wrong. We have got, a situation with a president with who's telling us to tweet our frustrations. Did any of you catch that today? To tweet our frustrations. And by the way, do you notice how the market breaks every time the president comes on? That still hasn't stopped. We need a situation where the president comes on the television, and does not make the market break. All right. Eventually we'll get to that point. But not today, though. Yesterday we saw Senator Reid on the Democratic side come out and say there was little progress coming out. What happened? Market broke. Market broke from being up on the day, broke down. Not only that, but we ended up much lower this morning because of the fact that there was the ancillary effect of that. Of course, that means the European markets, the Asian markets, and all the rest of the global markets took a lead from that. And they said, you know what? He's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. We're not going to get anywhere. Well, today, What happened? Well, you had the Speaker of the House come out and say some good things. All it takes is a couple of good comments. You know why this market bounces back so quickly, folks? It's because it's undervalued. You know, I tried to explain. It's funny because the guy that was on with me yesterday, I can't think of his name right now. He was the other guest on Larry Kudlow's show along with me. And if you want to see it, folks, we usually put it up on our Jack B show site. Or you can go to the CNBC site and just, you know, put me in and get it. But more importantly, he was talking about the suppressed valuation. Markets trading 12 times forward earnings. 12 times forward earnings. And I'm thinking, you know what, it brought a big smile to my face because you have heard me saying that time and time again. And I think that that's important. Look, we're going to go back and talk about Europe, and we're going to talk a little bit about the markets with Alan Rohrbach in the next couple of segments. But I wanted to get to something that seems to be a topic these days. People are asking me about the different types of markets out there. What's an emerging market? What's a developed market? What's a frontier market? And, you know, it was very ironic because I actually, you know, I did an interview today where I talked a little bit about that. And folks, bear with me because there's a reason for all of this. You'll get it in a second. the reality is this, that we are what you would call a developed market. All right. Are we at the point where we're never going to develop anymore? Well, no. I mean, we're constantly evolving. We're constantly developing. But there's certain categories by which you judge economies. You know, if heaven were an economy, we'd judge it by faith, right? I love that line. Anyway, but more importantly, the idea here is that you have got, three different types of markets as I see them. The developed markets, which are the Western economies, all right? The emerging markets, which are those that are just underneath, all right? Those are your BRIC nations, and then your frontier markets. Now, how do you look at a frontier market or define a frontier market? In my mind, a frontier market is really one that's kind of being ignored by the rest of the world. A case in point is Panama. Panama, and here's something that people don't even understand. Panama, for example, based off of the 2011 census, all right, have a GDP that's higher than every one of the BRIC nations except for Russia. Panama's GDP per capita GDP was $14,000 a person. In Brazil, it's $11,000. In China, it's $8,000. In India, it's $3,000. Only Russia at $16,000 is better than that. Think about that for a second. And here is a market that's defined as a frontier market. Now, what exactly does that mean to us? Well, it means that there is an investment horizon there, wouldn't you think? Well, no, not really. Frontier markets folks also have a lot of risks associated with them, all right? And I guess the real way to play these things is either by having somebody who is an expert in that field with people on the ground, all right? Now, and there's a reason for this, and I'll get to this in a second, or you need to be able to buy into the companies directly. All right, the individual companies. Now, what are the risks? Remember, you're dealing with what were at one time totalitarian states. They could very easily nationalize these things on you. All right. Now, on the other hand, if you see a country go from frontier market to emerging market to developed market, well, if you layer yourself into the change, it's very, very lucrative. And that's the other flip side of the coin. Of course, with great risk comes great reward, as we all know. But what I'm trying to get at is that right now you've got a global growth story taking place. We all know that China, right, with its 1.5 billion people, is absolutely the place to be. Well, what about those that are supplying China? It's not only, Caterpillar and John Deere, There are also other companies that we don't even know about that are in Malaysia and Sumatra. They're all over the place, all throughout Europe that we'll never even know about, all right, that are supplying, the various distribution points of, say, the Mercedes-Benzes and the BMWs of the world in Germany, the engineers, the small little engineering companies of 300 to 500 people. We don't even know about these companies, folks. All right? They are the companies. They are emerging. So when we're looking at Eastern Europe, and there are frontier markets in Eastern Europe, when we look at South America and Central America, there are frontier markets. There's a fine line between a frontier market and an emerging market. And I say that because everybody is looking for that next China. They're looking for the next play, the next big play. And where is it going to come from? Well, it's right in front of us, folks. You know, if you want to stay in our hemisphere, don't look any further than Chile, all right, or Panama. You know, again, these are countries that are actually havens. You know, Panama, and I use that as a great example, is situated in the perfect location. All right. They're expanding the Panama Canal to be able to accommodate the largest vessels in the world. And we're talking about the big, wonderful super tankers that are taking all of that oil all around the world, whether it be our oil and Canadian oil overseas or whether it's bringing back goods and services, whatever it is. That global trade, folks, seems to work a lot better when the Panama Canal zone is functioning. And what happens if that is happening? Well, then more than likely, the banking center of Panama will get stronger and stronger. And we will find Panama to be the Switzerland of the Americas. It makes perfect sense. So when you look at markets, not only is geography important, but understand that the rest of the dynamic that's taking place around it. The global growth story that is right now in front of us, that we are experiencing, will be told by the frontier and emerging marketplace. The emerging markets, we know how to get into. The ADRs are out there. You've got the iShares. We can all do that. But the frontier markets are a little different, folks. The frontier markets are also going to be the ones, incidentally, where you see the big growth in commodities, all right? Whether it's diesel fuel, whether it's gold, whatever the commodity is. When you have a frontier market that is starting to grow, which a lot of these are, the demand for raw materials grows exponentially. It doesn't grow in conjunction. See, that's the one thing that people don't understand. You know, when China started to grow, they might have been growing at 14% at one time, or 10%, let's say, but their consumption of energy was a lot higher than 10%. Think about it that way. And now, as you've got the rest of the world coming online with the global growth story, and if you don't believe me, folks, turn this off. If you don't believe that we are in the infancy of a global growth story, which we, as the United States, will dominate, all right? And yes, folks, that's the truth. Even those of you that are listening in Australia and Canada, yes, we will dominate it here. It will come out. It is what I always call the spoils of war, the Cold War, that is, all right? And with that, of course, comes a responsibility. The responsibility is to do the right thing. It's to be a good steward with being, you know, handling the spoils of war. So when we're looking at the emerging markets and the frontier markets, let's understand one thing. We've exported U.S.-style free market enterprise to those countries. What we need to make them understand is that the rule of law is also important. And with that will come investment possibilities. Till then, folks, it's very treacherous waters. But we do know this, that those markets will have an ancillary effect on the basic raw materials which we trade today. So whether it be nat gas, whether it be crude oil, whether it be 10-year T-bills, all right, bonds, I should say, or whether it be the T-bill, you are going to see an effect that is caused by this constant growth story that has not changed, and if anything, has a crescendo that seems to be developing, a build of a crescendo that seems to be developing, which is very hard to stop, folks. All right? Look, you know what? Can it end next year? Of course. You know, we could see, you know, anything happen. You know, but the reality is this, that when you've got a global growth story that has taken the world by hold, all right, this is something that is not only uniquely Asian, it's not only uniquely Central American or South American or Eastern European. No, folks, this is global, all right? Real question is whether Africa comes online. If it does, then you really got a story. Think about the raw materials that are there, all right? Question is law, of course, you know, the rule of law. But all of that makes for a very interesting 2013, doesn't it? You know, better yet, think of the stocks that'll do well. You know, think of the Freeport Mac Morans and the rest of the commodities that are out there, the stocks that do well in the situation. Think of the oils and the golds and the crudes and the coppers that'll do well. These are the types of commodities, by the way, which you do not want to be out of, or better yet, don't want to be short over the course of the next 4 years. Can I be wrong? Absolutely. I don't think so, though. It feels to me like this is the beginning of what could be the Kontrariev long wave, folks. All right? I've got a feeling so for the next couple of decades, look for the markets to go up because of a global growth story. All right, let's take a few minutes, and then when we come back, let's get Alan Rohr back on. Talk a little bit about Europe. This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull and Bear Institute. Bull and Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on what turned out to be a nice turnaround Wednesday today. All you needed were a couple of good comments coming out of the speaker, which turned the market around. But here to shed some light on not only that, but what is going on overseas in our with our good friends out in Europe is our old friend Alan Rohrbach. Of course, he is the founder of Rohr International. You can always get him at Rohr-blog. Hey, Alan, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. How you doing, Jack?
I am doing great. You know what? I'm glad you're taking the time out of your day to talk to us. And in fact, Alan, just to put, for a little programming note, you're also going to be on the video with us when we do the market update a little later on today at the CME.
Looking forward to it, Jack. Sounds great.
It sounds great. All right, listen, we've got a couple of things going on I want to talk to you about. I've got a situation in Europe that seems to be, if nothing else, stabilizing with the Greeks. Now, explain that, because I've had two emails saying, Jack, is Europe over, or do we still have to worry about it? And then we'll go from there.
Well, I think it's anything but over. You know, they've put the next Band-Aid on a liquidity problem of getting the Greeks enough money to be able to pay the bonds they have coming due and, you know, restore some finances for their social services and whatnot there. But, of course, the hoops they jumped through, and as a matter of fact, this was part of my blog post from yesterday when I offered the weekly calendar at Rohrblog on the fact that you have... Yours, just an amazing deferral of the Greek debt payments. They've extended the maturities by 15 years, no payments for 10 years. And that's just the headline. There's a lot of other things that went on with ECB, you know, reinvesting its interest into the into Greece, et cetera. So this is the beginning, though, of something that may be constructive, even though the people who are funding it all howl in Europe. This is the beginning of debt forgiveness in Europe, which, Jack, I got to hand it to you. You always said at some point they have to reflate. You can't just sit there and use austerity. And this is one aspect of that that I think we see coming. So it's not over, but they put a nice Band-Aid on it for now. We have to worry about what happens if the regions in Spain act up. It's going to be more about Spain. You know, Europe's always...
Well, here, no. Let's talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, the other day when I did the my little spot for the exchange, I said that one of the things that seems to be coming up is Catalan. This whole situation with the Basque separatists, which is no longer taking a violent turn, but it's taking a political turn in that now you're getting, you know, this whole, you know, the Catalonia issue being one that could really end up causing Spain some problems. Give me your take on that.
The truth is, in a perverse way, the powers that be in Europe are loving it because the Catalans acting up is going to put additional budget pressure on Spain, and they're hoping this is the straw that breaks the resistance of the anti-bailout pact. They have been resisting going for a full bailout, in other words, inviting Europe in to dictate terms on their fiscal picture, and that would be part of receiving the bailout, much as we saw with Ireland and Greece so far. And the fact is that it's negative in the near term. It's an irritant, but it may be just the basis you need to have Spain come in and ask for that full bailout, that it will actually be viewed as constructive. So, you know, it's much like the situation here, just to digress for a moment into something else I know you want to discuss, like the fiscal cliff picture here. You know, it's bad till it's good, then it's good till it's bad. So I think the thin equity market, the nervous equity market you've been warning about for the past couple of months, is going to continue to be that. It's probably going to be good on sharp sell-offs overall, but it's going to be more and more, with apologies once again to Irving Stone, more of the agony and the ecstasy back and forth, like what's creating our significant swings in our equity markets here right now on the fiscal cliff negotiations.
Well, before we go there, and I want to talk about that. In fact, I want to talk about that in the next segment where we can talk a little bit about support and resistance and what the smart players are doing.
Sure.
I want to stay in Europe for a second, if we can, and switch gears to Germany. Now, we saw some German numbers come out today, and, you know, the reaction wasn't good. And then we saw a big trade in gold. Now, I'm wondering if there is a relationship there at all, Alan, or if there is something there. Sounds like you're on the train, by the way.
Yeah, I am. I just passed by your house. I waved to the wife for you.
But no, why don't you give us your take on Germany? Because I know that there's a lot going on in Germany here.
Well, the biggest issue, of course, is whether they get drawn in to the broader economic weakness. And on current form, it looks like they are, which, I guess, is something I know you like to keep to a little later in the show. But just as long as we're on the subject, you know, it's the end of the month, so we get a lot of this important end-of-month data. And in that regard, I would certainly keep an eye on the German retail sales on Friday that comes right along with Eurozone unemployment and UK consumer confidence. There's a lot of Europe focus in this end-of-month data, as you know. And I think, you know, we're going to have to see some real improvement again in Germany, some stabilization and better PMIs and things like that to tell us Europe might really be basing out. And you're right, Germany's the key, and I think that they are content to continue to pay up for now to support the rest of Europe, and there's no political crisis on the horizon. So it's back to actually watching economics for a change in Europe for the key, along with that Spanish situation.
Here, you know what? I want to switch now to the fiscal cliff, Alan. You know, and I want to concentrate on this between now and the next segment here. I've got a situation where the market seems to be moving on every headline. I mean, first of all, what do you do in a situation like this? Why don't you tell people? Are you one that likes to trade headlines? Do you normally stay out of a market that's trading off of headlines?
I only trade headlines when I can anticipate them. If I think I know what they're going to look like a week down the road, it's worth anticipating classical sell the rumor, buy the fact, or buy the rumor, sell the fact. But the truth is that a client asked me the other day, because I think we're going to get past this fiscal cliff, but it's still going to be real brinksmanship. You know, maybe through the end of this week, in the next, everyone knows they don't need a real solution, even an announcement of a solution, or maybe the middle of next month. So you got another couple weeks here that are going to be a little bit, erratic. And the client said, well, Alan, if you think it's going to get solved and ultimately the S&P pushes back above 1400 to 1430, why are you cautioning us now that we should be careful in here because we might get a retest of 1350 if the market sinks back below certain levels? We can focus a bit more on later, Jack. I said, well, kind of like the doctor who has a good sense the patient is returning to health, is going to get over the current illness, but got to watch out that he might have a minor stroke along the way. Make sure I'm keeping an eye on that. So I'm really very balanced in my way here, but I'm expecting some more weakness first off things not quite getting to all the details being worked out the way they should. And Jack, as you have seen many times, we saw it with TARP, even though that program was too little too late. Nothing focuses the minds in Washington like we saw a couple weeks ago as well, like the equities taking a sharp drop for a couple days. Everyone will figure out how much more they actually can compromise, right?
Well, I guess one of the things that worries me, Alan, is, you know, when I did Kudlow's show yesterday, there was Senator Pat Toomey who was on right before me. And, you know, I mean, Larry Kudlow was asking him straight out what's going to happen. And he goes, Larry, I don't know. And I got to tell you something. When I hear that, it worries me. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I got on yesterday and I said, look, you know, volatility is low. This is probably a good time to be buying some puts, even though as bullish as I am. You know what? If the volatility is giving you a chance to be able to buy protection, buy it. Because who knows what these guys are going to do if they don't get their act together out there in D.C.
That's very right, Jack. And as they say, the devil's in the details. And everyone's talked about, well, we can build revenue without raising the rate, and we can find cuts. And then you come around to, okay, let's get down to specifics, and all of a sudden everybody becomes astronomers. They're all staring up at the sky, and no one wants to say anything.
No, you're
so
right.
So it's about the, I think the details not being forthcoming is what is going to upset the market. But then when push comes to shove, if all these guys get a real dose of the market acting badly when they aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and again, I don't know if that's tomorrow, next week, I think we have a reasonable chance this week and the next of a test of 1,350 again in the S&P.
No, that's...
And then if that focuses...
Well, hang on to that thought, Alan, because I want to talk about that when you get back here. Again, we're talking with Alan Rohrbach. Of course, he's the founder of Rohr International, sitting on a train on his way downtown. Always nice to hear the train conductor in the background. This is the Jack B. Show. Be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Jack B. Show. And hey, we are sitting talking with Alan Rohrbach, who's actually sitting on a train remotely on his way downtown here. Alan, you know what? We've got 33 days to the fiscal cliff, all right? And we were just talking about that and the ancillary effects of what might happen. You know, give me your take, number one, on do you think it's going to happen, or are you a believer? Are you drinking the Kool-Aid? Because I'm worried that there is not enough fear out there. I look at volatility under 16, and I think to myself, you know what? Nobody seems to care. And when I see that, that worries me, number one. I guess, and a follow-up question to that would be, you know, if it's not going to happen, what do you think is going to happen to the stock market? And then if you do think that we end up with a bit of a slip off the cliff, what do you think happens to the market?
Well, that would be pretty disturbing for the market. You know, they're, again, segueing in some of the further technical discussion. It just works out this way, which I always apologize for as a technician. I'm supposed to be a sharp pencil guy with the fine line levels. Well, the truth is that the support zone, the series serial support that started at 1,350, and this is December S&P 500 future. We always like to remind people it's the future and not the cash. 1,350 ranges down to the low end. Most critical is 1,320. So I think the market could take a lot of stress on nervousness over, you know, the cliff negotiation failing, and all the way to 1,320. It wouldn't necessarily mean the market had capitulated, but below 1,320, you know, people think about the big penny, as they like to say in the business, the jargon, you know, the even money, like 1,300. It's a relatively meaningless level. If they're below 1,320 on the lead contract S&P future, you're looking at a market that could reasonably drop down to, well, back near the summer lows at 1265. You know, that's also some trend support that's been coming up for many months as well. So it's a big, as you like to say, Jack, binary decision. This is going to be very good or very bad. If it's very good, we're going about 1400, probably for 30 to 50 bucks as the relief rally forces portfolio managers to chase it back into the market at the end of the year. And if it doesn't work out below 1320, you can drop another 50 bucks before you get to the next support. And right now, that's why we're oscillating so actively in that 1400 to 1350 range. Look at how quickly we got down there after the election, how quickly we bounced back after the very friendly meeting with the president couple weeks ago on Friday.
Well, you know, whenever I was always taught, whenever the market bounces back the way it does, it didn't belong there in the first place. That was a bit of an aberration in pricing. And again, for me, it's more of a question of valuation, as I've said all along. Alan, give me your take on a couple of these other markets. What else are you looking at? I know you're a watcher of copper. You're a watcher of nat gas. You're a watcher of some of these other markets. What's got your attention these days and why?
Well, what's got my attention is the degree to which the other markets are not really reflecting yet their confidence that the equity market, even if we get the fiscal cliff worked out, and the economy are really good. You know, you talked about gold taking the hit today, and that was more like a market that was trying to respond to the potential for economic weakness. Copper came a long way down from 380 to 340, and on the rebounds, you know, as well as equities have acted, it's only back up in the low 350s, and You know, I did a blog post on Friday. There is no bond bubble. I know I handed you the graphic on that even earlier last week. When
good
we got
piece, by the way. Yeah, as most of your stuff is, it was very well. It's very well written. By the way, you're a good writer, Alan. I don't know if I've told you that. You write very well.
I've had good teachers. Thanks for that. But I had some very good direction on that professionally in the business. Not so much English in school as people who...
I was going to say, you're a product of the Chicago public school system just like I am, aren't you not?
Well, I'm also a product of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange farm team. We all started as runners, didn't we?
That's right, absolutely.
So it's a clarified market thought from the old incubator of macro technical analysis. They didn't call it that back then. It wasn't that fancy, but... Hey, you got to have your fundamentals thought through to think which way you think they should be going. Then you look at your charts to see what the market's really telling you, Jack. It's like you always say, don't try to trade the market you want. You need to trade the market you actually have. And as you know, that's one of the places the technicals help you define the situation.
No, you're right. Alan, when I started off the segment, I said we've got 33 days until the fiscal cliff. At what point do you start to worry? Is it at day 32?
I start to worry after December 15th because that'll leave a small enough window. They won't be able to actually have enough days to legislate anything, even if they stick around for a portion of their Christmas holiday. You got a legislative calendar you have to go through if they're actually going to have something on paper to pass both houses of Congress. And that's the point at which people say, well, whatever they do, it's just talk. It's not a bona fide piece of legislation. And December 15th also, I think, if it's not sorted out by then, again, if the clock is ticking, it's only got another 2.5 weeks down the road. And, well, if everybody still can't work out the details across another 3 weeks, what's going to change in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a whole psychology.
I think that's why I'm saying I think the pressure is going to build and the nervousness is likely to build. Market might have that minor stroke. Sometime, if they don't have this worked out by mid to late part of next week, certainly into the following week, that's where you start to have the kind of problems that could bring us on a sharp sell-off, and then hopefully that focuses minds and they quickly run in and don't care what Grover Norquist or Nancy Pelosi or anybody else think and say, okay, each side will provide a little more grease for the wheels and actually get it done. I'm saying by about December 15th is after probably some nervousness is when you should see your solution if we're going to get it at all.
No, that's good stuff. Alan, you know what? Have a safe ride in, my friend. We'll be seeing
Thanks.
You on the market
I'll
update.
See you in a bit.
Sounds good.
Seeing you in a little bit.
Thanks Sounds good. Alan Rohrbach, of course, he is the founder of Rohr International and, more importantly, a good friend. He gets to come on the show and talk about how he sees the markets. And I love the fact that he gets to break things down. He puts things in a very digestible, understandable fashion for me. That's one of the reasons I like bringing him on, because I actually get to learn when I ask him about certain things. But if you notice, folks, one of the things that we keep talking about is this fiscal cliff issue. And that's the reason I asked him, at what point does he start to worry? Because I want to get a feel for that. That's the gauge. At what point do you start to worry? If they come out within another week with a deal, and, you know, listening to what Speaker Boehner had to say today, you know, who's still opposed to, by the way, to raising U.S. income tax rates, but is talking as if, you know, there is some consolation that might be there on the table. But listening to him today leads me to believe that there is a deal being worked out. Now, if that is the case, folks, and you hear something happen, put on your seatbelts, because you could see this market go up very quickly based off of the fact that you have got people sitting on the sidelines in cash, afraid of what they see, and more importantly, underinvested. Those are the people that we end up seeing chasing returns. Now, can it not happen? Of course, you know, but then again, it's something that is one handshake away from seeing manifest itself. All right, this is Jack B. We're going to take a few minutes, come back, and wrap it up.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull and Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull and Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this Wednesday. And, you know, I just want to take a couple of minutes to voice just a little bit of my frustration here at government in general. Look, you know what? I'm very, very political, I guess, you know, in some of what I talk about. You know, I think that my politics I wear on my sleeve, my little GOP badge, my acronym, which I have that I wear very proudly at work on the floor of the exchange. And for 15 years, I've been videotaped with it on my chest off of the floor of the exchange. And you know, I was always very proud of that. But I got to tell you something, folks. I'm an American first. All right. And when I see the type of political, you know, stranglehold that seems to be taking place on the American public by those that are voted into office, it worries me a little bit. Look, you know, I guess here's the problem as I see it, all right? Nobody can come to the table with a dogmatic opinion in either side of the aisle. They have to come to the table with an open mind and have to get this done. Look, Wall Street is asking for it by way of the market getting hit the way it does every time you hear somebody come out and say something like Harry Reid said yesterday and go up the way it went up today when you saw somebody say something good the way that Boehner did. But the reality is this. I was talking about it the other day. If these lawmakers allow us to go off the fiscal cliff, they should all be removed from office, each one of them, because that means that they cannot do their jobs. And if that is the case, folks, you're talking about dysfunctional government. We should be above that. You know, CNBC has a little Rise Above logo. In fact, they sent me a little Rise Above button they've asked me to wear when I go on CNBC. I actually forgot to wear it when I went to do Larry Kudlow's show yesterday. It's sitting on my desk. But I got to tell you something. You know what? There's something more than just a button there. There's something more than just a couple of words there. There's an action that needs to be taken by our lawmakers. They need to rise above. They need to do as what Mitch McConnell said yesterday, quit running for office. Start solving the problems. And I don't care about Grover Norquist. I don't care about a pledge that somebody signed. Look, the only pledge that I care about is the Pledge of Allegiance, all right? The only pledge that I care about is the one that you make to be a faithful legislator of this country. All right? And that is really the only pledge that matters to me. So when the GOP comes to the table and when they talk about revenues and when, you know, the Democrats come to the table and talk about entitlements, you know what? I hope they have an open mind, because if they don't, folks, all right, we're looking at a devastating move in stocks. You're looking at a move down, maybe a full one or two standard deviation moves down, which takes me, all right, out of the game, at least temporarily. That's one of the reasons I said yesterday, buy puts. I said it in front of a couple hundred thousand people on Kudlow's show. I'm saying it in front of 10,000 people right now. Listen to this podcast. Buy puts. All right? I don't care if they go off worthless, but unless these jokers do something, folks, you're going to see those puts explode in value. All right? Unfortunately, it's going to be, you know, at the mercy of your portfolio getting hit. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about the numbers that came out today. And remember, we do have some numbers that came out today, including new home sales, which were a little bit disappointing. You know, 368,000 units. We were looking for somewhere around 387,000 to maybe 390,000 units. That did follow, I guess, the Case-Shiller Index yesterday, which led us to believe that things were getting just a little bit better. All right, remember, you know, you're starting to see the price of things getting a little bit better. But the more important number, as I see it yesterday, it was consumer confidence, all right, 73.7, better than expected. Folks, consumer confidence is getting better. New home sales, even though not quite as where we expected them to be, are still trending higher. Home prices are trending higher. These are all things that are important if the economy is going to stabilize, better yet, if it's going to start to grow. Tomorrow's GDP number is going to be key. You know, GDP, just so you know, has just been revised up by Goldman Sachs and a couple of other people. Goldman Sachs actually revised it up to 2.8. All right? 2.8%. Think about that. All right? So here. So the GDP, all right, that's a big number. All right? Now, understand something, folks. We're talking about a number that right now can get revised back and forth quite a bit. But right now, for us to be looking at 2% plus growth in an environment where everybody is talking about a fiscal cliff, a breakdown in what is going on in China, a breakdown in Europe. And remember, we keep hearing these same things. All of it means nothing. Nothing. Unless we start to see some real action taken by the president, by the legislators that are voted in. None of it matters, folks, if they let us go off this fiscal cliff. You know, I keep telling that to people. You know, all bets are off. I said this yesterday in front of, you know, on TV. In fact, I got a couple of emails. I said, all bets are off if we see the market go off the fiscal cliff, if we, they let us go off the fiscal cliff. On the other hand, as the guest that was on with me talked about, forward earnings now are at 12 times where the market's trading. Think about that. 12 times forward earnings when the norm is 16. That tells you how undervalued stocks are. But now we know why, don't we? When you've got these types of black clouds hanging over the market, it gives you an idea of why we see the suppressed valuation on stocks. So I guess it's only a question of when we see the lid taken off. When we see what's suppressing the market lifted off of the market. That's one of the reasons I don't want to be out of the market. I want to buy puts to protect myself. But there's a part of me that says that we are one handshake away, all right, from watching an S&P go up 100, 150 points within a matter of a few weeks. That's a big move. That's a full standard deviation move. That is a move that takes us from a 13 multiple to a 14 multiple. Or if you're looking at forward earnings, it takes you from 12 to 13 in forward earnings. Forward earnings, of course, are a multiple from a higher level, from a higher number. This is Jack Baruchin. Have yourselves a wonderful hump day. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Take care.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.